أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عبس وتولى أن جاءه الأعمى وما يدريك لعله يزكى أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى أما من استغنى فأنت له تصدى وما عليك ألا يزكى وأما من جاءك يسعى وهو يخشى فأنت عنه تلهى كلا إنها تذكرة فمن شاء ذكره في صحف مكرمة مرفوعة مطهرة بأيدي سفرة كرام بررة قتل الإنسان ما أكفره صدق الله العظيم. Although we talked about the first ayahs, the beginning ayahs of Surah Abasa in our last session, but I will repeat very quickly the meaning of these beginning ayahs so we can get the following messages that are coming in the next ayahs. Abasa wa tawalla an ja'ahu al-a'ma. He frowned and turned away when a blind man came to him. Again, to refresh your memory, these ayahs were revealed about Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiyallahu anhu, a blind sahabi who went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking to the leaders of Quraysh, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not like this blind man interfering with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he's talking to the leaders of Quraysh, because he had a hope that those people will accept Islam, and this person is already a Muslim, so he can ask the questions later on also. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not pay any attention to this blind man, and he was turning his face away from him. The blind man again and again repeatedly tried to get Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's attention towards him. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not like it, and he did not reply to his question. And at that occasion, these ayahs were revealed. And we talked about this part in detail in our last session. These ayahs were revealed at that time, Abasa wa tawalla. He frowned and turned away when a blind man came to him. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى. What would make you know that he might become pure? لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى. تَزْكِيَة is to purify ourselves. Four reasons for sending the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, to purify them. So, what would make you know that he might become pure? أَوْ يَذَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَى. Or he will be reminded, and reminder will help him. تَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَى. Reminder will help this blind man. أَمَّا مَنْ اسْتَغْنَى. As far as him who is turning away or who is self-sufficient and considers himself that he doesn't need the Prophet, he doesn't need to learn from any person, فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى. You are turning towards him. وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى. And it's not your concern if he does not purify himself. Which means, if these leaders of Quraysh do not accept the message, Ya Rasulullah, you are not questionable for them. You have conveyed the message, and this was your main duty to convey the message of Islam to these people. You don't have to keep on begging them, and especially neglect your own people, a person who has accepted Islam already, neglecting that person and turning towards those people who have not accepted Islam is not wise in Islam and is not acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned last week, and this point has to be again clarified, that if a person, two people are talking, and a third person jumps in and he would like to talk to one of these two people, of course that person has no right, and even today that person has no right to just jump in and try to talk to one of those two people, let them finish their conversation, and then he can go ahead and talk to them. This is still out of the adab, and is still considered one of the very special and important manners and adab of talking to someone. But the situation here was a little different. The situation here was that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking to the leaders of Quraysh, talking to some. There are two things in there. One is, those are non-Muslims. On the other hand, this person who wants to take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's attention and drive his attention towards him, that person is Muslim. The second thing, the second main difference is, those people are wealthy people and leaders, such wealthy and leaders, who do not like to see poor people around them. And when they see this blind man coming over there and talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt that this person, since he came at this occasion, he will hurt my gathering with these people. If it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may not have mind so much as he mind because of this blind man, because the leaders of Quraysh always wanted to stay away. You know, they used to keep gap between the, according to court to court, according to our understanding, two different classes of people. High class people and low class people. It's like nowadays, even though we don't say it and we don't talk about it, but it's very well accepted fact. Travel anywhere in North America and every city you will find high class people, low class people. Over here the taxes are $3,000 a year, and over here the taxes are $600 a year, which simply means those people who are low class will come over here. Those people who are high class, they will go over that area. That's over there, the fact is there, and it always remains. Islam does not like this type of division in the Ummah, of high class and low class. The classes that are divided in Islam are according to taqwa, according to piety, according to the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the only classes we have in Islam. And in these classes, the high class people will love the low class people. If the classes are divided in this way, then the high class people will always carry love in their hearts for the lower class people. But if we divide them according to the wealth, then the high class people will always be running away and hiding themselves away from the so-called, according to their understanding, low-class people. The reason is very simple. When the classes, these type of division is there according to the wealth, so the poor people always will be looking at the wealth of the wealthy people. And these wealthy people want to run away, that I don't want to give these people anything. Keep these people aside. But when the class is divided according to the knowledge, taqwa, piety, we find Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, the most pious person in the Ummah. No one ever was more pious than Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, and all the Ummah together, if they get together to be even close to Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, they won't be to do that, to achieve that goal. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became Khalifa, some older women and some widows said to Abu Bakr, we are happy that you became Khalifa, it's so nice, but the only thing that worries us now, that who's going to milk our goats now? Because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to milk the goats for them. And he used to go and clean their yards. He will go and work for them, do everything they need. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to those people that by becoming Khalifa, it won't stop me from serving people. In fact, now I became a greater servant for all the people. So now my responsibilities have increased and added. It has not decreased. And when Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu anhu says that there was a blind woman, he says, every day in the morning I used to go to that woman's home with the intention of cleaning her home, because she's blind, she's elder, And she cannot do most of the work. She's handicapped also. She cannot do most of the work for herself. And she did not, because of in those days, did not they did not have bathrooms in their homes. For going to the bathroom, they had to go out of town. You know, out somewhere where they used to throw the trash and the garbage. People used to go out there for using the bathrooms. Now imagine this older woman, a blind woman. She cannot go for herself, and there is no one else around her who can guide her and take her over there. So she used to use the washroom also in one of the corners of her home. Umar radiallahu anhu said, when I knew that, I used to go to her house every morning with the intention of cleaning the home. But as I would go there, I would find the house clean. And I asked her, would you like to eat something? She would tell me, no, you fed me enough. And she doesn't know who's there. He says, for a long time I was thinking, who is this person? And one day I thought, I'll go and hide over there for the whole night, somewhere beside her home, and see who comes to do all of this work for her. And he said, at the time of tahajjud before Salat al-Fajr, I saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu getting into that home. And before Fajr, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was out of that home, and he came to the masjid as if he doesn't even know anything about it. So next day, I went and waited over there. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came out, I said, Abu Bakr, what were you doing in that home? So he said to me, please don't tell anyone. So this type of division will always create love in those people who are considered in the higher class for those who are considered in the lower class. When this division is according to taqwa and piety. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The dearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who have greater piety and taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those leaders of Quraysh did not want this blind man to be around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking to them. In fact, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, that ask these poor people to stay away when we are with you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about to ask them to do that, that when these people come, you people just go out for some time until they are discussing Islam with me, and then you come back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayahs in Surah Kahf, وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Do not force those people out of your gathering who are praying to Allah day and night, seeking Allah's pleasure. So, these were two main factors over there. One is, these are kuffar. That person is Muslim. The second thing is, that these people consider that person in a very low class for people, and they do not want that person to be around them when they are talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they are considered to be high class people. They will not stand in the same saf of the other people then. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَمَّا مَنِ اسْتَغْنَى فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى. The person who considers himself independent, you are going to him and you turn towards that person. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى. It's not your concern if that person does not purify himself. You have conveyed the message and you must fulfill your responsibilities. Now your responsibility is towards that person, that blind man who is a Muslim and wants to learn more about Islam. A very important lesson for us, for the Ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That there is difference between a person who wants to learn and a person who does not want to learn. General trend in the Ummah nowadays, we find that those who want to learn, we do not want to teach them. And those who don't want to learn, our full focus is towards those people. Today, every Muslim's concern, almost everyone will talk about, we should bring these people to Islam. Let's go out, talk to non-Muslims. have used the media, used the TV, used the radio programs, used every mean in the world to bring these people into Islam. And those people who are already into Islam, we have no time to teach them about Islam. And if they want to learn, we will not have any time for them, but we have all the time to talk to those people in the media and everyone else so that we can spread the message of Islam to non-Muslims. This is exactly the same mistake. That turning away from our own Muslims who want to learn and going towards those people who don't want to learn and trying to focus just on those people and force Islam into their heart, whereas our main responsibility is to convey the message, and with conveying the message, the most important thing is when there are people who want to learn and they are interested in our deen, and especially if they are already Muslims, those people should always have the priority. This is a clear message that we get from these ayahs of the Quran al-Kareem. And it really, this message should remain very clear into our hearts and minds. Many times it happens that to invite people, non-Muslims, into Islam, we break ties with Muslims also. And we start arguing with Muslims of how to bring those people into Islam. Which of course, according to these ayahs, is something which is not acceptable in the Sharia of Islam. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّ It's not your concern if that person does not purify himself. وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى As far as him who came to you rushing, and he came to you to learn deen. وَهُوَ يَخْشَى And he's afraid also. He fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَخْشَى يَخْشَى اللَّهُ He fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَّى You are neglectful to him. So, the person who wants to learn, you are neglecting him. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told, that this was the mistake you are making, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That you are neglecting the person who wants to learn, and you are trying to teach those who don't want to learn.
Kalla innaha tadhkira.
In these ayahs, one thing that we learn is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, he was talking to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he does not say, عَبَسْتَ وَتَوَلَّيْتَ You were turning away. He's using a third person. That person turned away. And he's talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He does not want to hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's feeling directly. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the adab. And according to these ayahs, Mufassireen have mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his messengers so much that he did not want to see the messengers doing even the minor mistake, not a sin, even minor mistake in their life without correcting those mistakes. And messengers of Allah, they used to make very few mistakes. They would not normally, they won't even make mistakes. But the few mistakes they made in their lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected them right away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught them the adab. Umar radiallahu anhu, after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he was talking about the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he talked about the ayah, another ayah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about another mistake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanAllah, there is a saying in Arabic language, حَسَنَاتُ الْأَبْرَارِ سَيِّئَاتُ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ Sometimes, a good deed of a virtuous person, abrar, good people, good deed from a good people, the same deed might be considered a sin for greater people. What does this mean? This means, for example, us. We make so many of these kind of mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never holds us accountable for it. And we don't even get any sin for it. We are okay. But for the Prophet of Allah, he caught him right away. So So the person who are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is more expected from those people. As when a person is very close to us, if someone goes home, sees the house dirty, the bed is not ready, food is not ready, he knows that he has called home earlier that I'm coming home and I'll be tired, and he finds that nothing is ready, he'll be very upset with his wife. Or might be a husband who goes away for a long time and comes after a long time and doesn't bring any gift for the wife. She will be a little upset that how come you didn't bring nothing for me? She might, the first thing, as soon as he enters home, the first thing she will jump on is his suitcase. What did you bring for me? Something is expected. People whom you like, whom you love, there is some expectations there. And always the expectations are from those who are closer to us. His expectations are not from those whom we don't like. We don't even care about them, we don't even worry about them. Expectations are normally from those, and always from those whom we like and they are close to us. And the closer the person is to us, the more expectations will be there. And accordingly, then we will be catching more mistakes of those people. If another person comes, and that person says, you know, I was thinking about you, and this is why I wrote you a letter when I was away, I wrote you a letter. We feel that it was so great of this man, of this person, to write us just a letter and not bring anything we don't even care about, that we did not even expect a letter from this person. But there are people, if they would write us a letter and they won't bring anything, we will mind it. So, same thing. Hasanatul Abrar Sayyiatul Muqarrabin. The good deeds of good people, they might not be good deeds for higher people. Something is higher expected from those people. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar radiallahu anhu talked about other ayah, when some munafiqeen came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for permission not to join the battle of Tabuk. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that these people are just making excuses. But still he said, okay, don't worry, go. You don't have to come with me. Every person comes, makes an excuse. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that's fine. If you can't come, it's up to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed some ayahs in Quran al-Kareem, telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why did you give them the permission? You should never give them the permission, yet they won't come with you. And then it will be proven to you that these people don't want to obey you anyway. Those ayahs are afallahu ank. Lima azinta lahum hatta yatabayyana laka alladhina sadaqu wa ta'lam al-kadibin. Allah has forgiven you. Why did you permit them to stay back? Hatta yatabayyana laka alladhina sadaqu wa ta'lam al-kadibin. Till you know who are the truthful people in claiming that they love you and who are the liars. Umar radiallahu anhu said to the people, look, how much Allah loves his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he wanted to correct them and correct him, and he wanted to mention his mistake. First thing he told him, afallahu anhu. First thing is telling him that I have forgiven you. And then telling him what mistake you have made. Normally would tell the people that, you know, these are the wrong things you have done, but don't worry about it. But this ayah is saying, don't worry about it first. I have forgiven you already. What's the mistake? He doesn't even know what wrong he has done yet. After saying that I have forgiven you, then he says, Lima azinta lahum, why did you allow them to stay back? This is telling us how close Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, another very important thing that we have to learn from these ayahs and keep in mind at the time of talking to people about Islam, that those people who are sincere in learning Islam, we should pay more attention to them than those who are not sincere in learning Deen. The leaders of Quraysh were not sincere in learning Deen. Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu was very sincere in learning Deen. Although he made a mistake, he made a mistake. It's not that he did not make a mistake. His mistake was he tried to interfere between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those people while they were talking. But when there is a person with sincerity, another person who is not sincere, then even if this person makes that mistake, that's his problem, his fault, his doing something wrong, that fault of that person should not make us do something wrong. As when a scholar was asked that when people hurt us, why shouldn't we try to do the same thing back to those people for them to learn a lesson? He said, when there is a fire, then there is a need to put some fire to extinguish, to put some water to extinguish the fire. If you bring another flame of fire and put it beside that fire, it's going to just increase the fire. We'll never finish it. Might be a good example that a person who goes to a garden where he doesn't like the garden. Why he doesn't like the garden? There are so many thorns over there. It's full of thorns and there are no flowers. So this person says, you know, since there is no flower, let me just, he brings some more thorns and throw them in the, crash them into the garden. So he will be adding thorns. It will be good for him to put some flowers over there, so next time when he comes over there, he will like the garden that there are at least some flowers now. Same thing. When a person is making a mistake, if we add another mistake to that mistake, we are only adding fuels to the fire. What we have to do is try to extinguish that fire by adding something good. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran al-Kareem, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Evil and good are never equal. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Whenever you want to fight an evil, بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, always try to take the evil away by a good deed. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. If you do that, then a person with animosity against you will become one of your best friends. But وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. No one can do this except those who have great sabr and patience. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And only those people can do this who have a great luck from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means a great hidayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That not paying back to people evils when they are trying to do evils to us. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, لا تكونوا إمعة. He uses the word, don't be إمعة. And then he himself explains what does إمعة means. إمعة means, تقولوا إن أحسن الناس أحسننا وإن أساءوا أسأنا. That you say that if people are good to us, we'll be good to them. And if they are bad to us, then we'll treat them the same way. He said, ولكن إن أحسن الناس فأحسنوا وإن أساءوا فأحسنوا. If people do good to you, then of course you should be good to them. And if they do something wrong to you, then at that time you should be also good to them. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِ وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلُ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you hear a lot of virtues for joining the relationship with relatives, with friends, with Muslims, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person who is being nice to those who are nice to him, he is not joining a relationship. He is only paying back. He said, وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلُ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. The person who is joining the relationship is the one, and who gets the reward for joining the relationship is the one who is always being hurt by his relatives and is trying to join the relationship with them. They are trying to break it, he is trying to join it. This is what joining the relationship means. Otherwise, we are just paying something back for what those people are doing. And everyone does that. That's something very normal, because he's good to me, I'm good to him. But as soon as he would do something that I don't like, that's the time we have to see what do we do at that time. And this is exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us, and he's taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, the adab that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taught, he himself says about this, أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِي. The one who taught me these manners is Allah. أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي. My Lord taught me the manners. فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِي. Therefore, he taught me the best manners. And after teaching Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam these adab and these manners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when that class was over and he went through the whole course of learning the adab and the manners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a certificate also. He got the award, the certificate. The certificate says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You have the best manners. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. This was the certificate awarded to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of human beings and the creator of these manners and morals. He says that you have the best of those. The best that I created and the best human being I have seen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made and seen with good morals. He says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. إِنَّ means indeed you are the person. خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. With best and with good morals. So these are some adab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have taught Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this ayah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kalla, innaha tazkira. Don't do this. Kalla. Don't do this. Don't turn away from a person who wants to learn. Because, innaha tazkira. Indeed, this Quran is a reminder. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَهُ. Whoever will can take the reminder. A person who wants to get the reminder, then give him the reminder. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَهُ. So this reminder is for those people who would like to get the reminder from it. Those who will turn away from it, they will not get the reminder from this Quran. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran about this book of Allah. يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Many people get misguided through the same book. And many people find the path through this book. It's the same book. Some people go off the track because of the same book. And we have seen those type of people also. You may not remember some examples, but I can remind you of the example of those people who reject the ahadith and try to interpret the Quran according to their understanding. There is a person who wrote a whole dictionary of Quran just from the Arabic language, according to the Arabic language. And he translated the salah as dua. He says you don't have to pray five times a day. You just make a dua, you pray to God for some moments and that's salah. Is getting misguided through the same one. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran, and nowadays, unfortunately, there is a person in North America who's spreading a lot of these type of things against ahadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have said it in one of his ahadith, that one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, a person, and look at the wording of the hadith, subhanallah, when he's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Quran says about him, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak of his desires, it's a revelation that is sent to him. And he says, before the Day of Judgment, this will take a place, it will be, there will be people, مُتَّكِئٌ عَلَىٰ أَرِيكَتِهِ. A person will be leaning against his pillows. And he will say to the people, حَسْبُكُمْ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. The book of Allah is enough for you. Don't look for anything else. In other hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, شَبْعَان مُتَّكِئٌ عَلَىٰ أَرِكَتِهِ. A person whose stomach is full and leaning against his pillows, and he will say, this book is enough for us. We don't need the guidance from anywhere else. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those people are misguided. I also have given you some orders in my ahadith, and I have made certain things halal and certain things haram. My ahadith are as important as the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to the orders of Islam. When I read about a book, I called that person who wrote the book. I said, can you please send me the book? I would like to see what you have said in that book. When he sent me the book, I didn't know that this person, basically, some people had admired that author and they told me that he wrote a good book. When I received that book, His picture was on the book, is leaning on like this and sitting like this. As soon as I looked at the picture, subhanAllah, that hadith just went through my mind. I opened the book and started reading it, and every point he's rejecting the hadith. Every point he's trying to reject the hadith and saying that we should not trust Imam Bukhari. Forget about Imam Bukhari. Because he had his own desires, he had his relatives, he has his enemies. So he will take the hadith from his friends and from his relatives, will reject the hadith from his enemies. So don't trust none of those people. And there are so many people who came in Islam with a similar type of claim, that don't trust all of those people. You know what do those people mean? You know what is very, and we would like, if we translate their meanings into our language, what does that mean? It simply means that don't worry about none of those, follow me. Follow me. Because I'm telling you what to do. Those people didn't know what to do. This is exactly what it means. That don't worry about none of those people. Don't worry about Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Tirmidhi, Imam Abu Hanifa, Shafi'i, Malik, Ahmad. Don't worry about none of those scholars of Islam and those people who served Islam for years. Don't worry about them. They didn't know enough about Islam. Ask me. I will teach you your deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, there will be a lot of kadhaboon, a lot of liars in my ummah. And a lot of dajjaloon. Dajjal means people who mix up the truth with evils. This is what dajjal is going to do. The person who's coming. Dajjal. Dajjal means, according to the Arabic language, dal, ja, jim, lam, means to mix up the truth with evils in such a way that people will consider the evil also take it as truth. So he said, dajjaloon akadzaboon. There will be liars and those people who will be dajjals, which means mixing up the truth with evils, falsehood. كلهم يزعم أنه نبي الله. They will claim that they are the prophets of Allah. They are Nabiyullah. وأنا خاتم النبيين لا نبي بعدي. I am the last of the prophets. There is no prophet after me. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in these ayahs, إنها تذكرة فمن شاء ذكره. This Quran is a reminder, but reminder for whom? For those who would like to get the reminder from it. For those who want to turn away from it, or who don't want to get the reminder from this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not get the reminder from this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the same fact in the beginning of Quran al-Kareem. When we asked him for hidayah, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, you need this hidayah, alif lam mim, ذلك الكتاب لا غيب فيه, this is the book in which there is no doubt, هدى للمتقين. It's a guidance for muttaqeen, God-fearing people. For those who are looking for the taqwa of Allah, who are looking for the hidayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but those who will read it with an intention of finding objections in the book, they will be reading it with that intention and they will be even more misguided. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ. Whoever wishes should accept the reminder. فِي صُحُفٍ مُكَرَّمَةٍ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next ayah is telling us the greatness of this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That how great this book is. The book that we normally neglect and the book that we, alhamdulillah, all of us have it in our homes. And because of this, because we all have it, this is the reason we are neglecting it. And if we really see the people who come from Russia, from one of those communist countries, those people who have not seen Quran for 30, 40 years, and they just heard from their parents that we have a book that's called Quran. When they see the Quran, believe me, I have seen people who have seen them, and they explain it, and you must have heard also some people who come from that part of the world. They see the Quran, they start kissing the Quran. They put it on their chest, they put it on their heart, they put it on their eyes, they put it on their head. That, oh, this is the book. We were hoping for a long time to see this book of Allah. They have not seen the Quran. They have not seen a copy of the Quran. When they see a Muslim who is wearing the proper Islamic dress, they start kissing them. They start kissing their foreheads. SubhanAllah, we were looking for Muslims who are following the Sunnah for a long time. We were not allowed to do these things in our country. Those people know the value of Islam. But because we have all of these copies of Quran, and nowadays we even get them for free, so we try to get 10-15 copies in each home and try to fill the shelves with them, so what, when someone would come to us, at least we can prove that yes, I'm a Muslim, see the Quran is on my shelf. This book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Fi suhufin mukarrama." It is in records that are honored with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the seventh heaven, which is called Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz. This book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is written over there. Marfu'atin mutahhara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is exalted and purified. The reason he gave it to us, this book is so great that that's the place of this book. What's the real place of this book? It's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this book remains always on the seventh heaven. Lawh al-Mahfuz is the name of the place where this book Quran is written. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have sent it to you people so that you people can benefit from it. For your benefit, I have sent it to you people. So therefore, you also keep it high and keep it respected. مَرْفُوعَةٍ مُطَهَّرَةٍ. It's exalted and purified. بِأَيْدِي سَفَرَةٍ. In the hands of scribes, angels who are writing it, and angels who write the different parts of this book. Always, this ayah is telling us that it is also ibadah to write the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to write Quran al-Kareem. And angels are always over there sitting and writing this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَرْفُوعَةٍ بِأَيْدِي سَفَرَةٍ كِرَامٍ بَرَرَةٍ. Those angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when it comes to the angels, I gave this book to only those angels, and of course all the angels are same, but he said, the quality of the angels is this, kiramin barara. They are honorable and they are obedient. So I have sent it to you people also, so that you people will become honorable and you people will become obedient also. So whoever will accept the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will take the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will follow the message in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Should make him obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second thing is, kiram. That person will have honor. And really, we see it, that people who respect the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who learn the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the honor that normally we cannot, a person with anything else in any other field, through any other way, can never expect to have that honor that people and that we Muslims can get it by respecting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O human being, see how I have preserved this book over there. Where is the real place of this book? And the angels, they are so pure and clean, and I have given this book only to those angels. But when it comes to you people, I gave you this book in order for you to learn from it for your own benefit. But قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ. Mean, human beings are cursed. مَا أَكْفَرَهُ. How ungrateful these human beings are. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانِ. Human beings are cursed. How ungrateful they are. And of course, this is only about those who are ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great blessing of the book of Allah. مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us after giving you all of this, such a great book. And I brought my book down. My words, I gave it to you people. How ungrateful you are to me that you don't even go back to my book. You don't benefit from my words. You recite other things and you read other things more than you would read my words. We read everyone else's words. We like to read history. We like to read everything else. This is the only book that when after reading it for 5-10 minutes we feel now I have done a lot and I have fulfilled all of my responsibilities towards this book. Put it back and go back to other books. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ. How ungrateful the human being is. And this ayah, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ, has سَبَبُ النُّزُولِ also. A reason why this ayah was revealed. Utbah, who was the son of Abu Lahab, he was married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter, Umm Kulsum radiyallahu anha. And of course, this is before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a prophet. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started inviting people to Islam, and this hadith that I'm reading will also tell us the hardships of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or at least some type of hardships that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through for the sake of Islam. We normally read about people throwing trash at him, people torturing him, people cursing at him, blaming him, but this is totally different type of torture that many people might fail when it comes to these type of hardships. When Surah Tabbat Yada Abi Lahabim Watab was revealed, Abu Lahab said to his son, "That son, Muhammad talks against me. And now there is a verse in his book that curses me. Are you still going to keep his daughter as your wife?" So his son Utbah went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "Muhammad, if you want to stop conveying the message of Islam, I'll divorce your wife, your daughter. I'm going to divorce your daughter if you want to stop conveying the message of Islam." Normally in this situation, a person might think, now is a problem with my daughter. And you know, it will break her home, it will happen this and this and this can happen. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, that at this time she is your wife. And you have the choice to divorce her if you want. I won't stop you from doing anything that you would like to do, but don't try to stop me from conveying the message of Allah because of my daughter. And finally, when Utbah realized that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not want to stop conveying the message of Islam, he divorced Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter, Umm Kulsum radiyallahu anha. In fact, the way he divorced her, was also very unhuman way to do that. He went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he started cursing at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, he pulled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so hard that he ripped his clothes also. And he said, "Now take your daughter back," with some curses, whatever he cursed. At that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became upset and he made a dua against him. He said, "Allahumma sallit alayhi kalban min kilabik. Ya Allah, have one of your dogs take care of him." That was the thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He went back to his father, and the father is waiting very happily to hear the good news from his son, that let me see what did he do to Muhammad today, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went back and he told his father everything, and the father is admiring his son, that you're great, you are very brave, that son, you did great. And finally, he asked him, "Did Muhammad say something to you?" He said, "Yeah, this is what he said to me, Allahumma sallat alayhi kalbam min kilabik." As soon as he heard this word, Abu Lahab, who was a kafir, who was not even a Muslim, but it says in the tafsir, his face turned red, became very upset. And at the same time, now he knew, he said to his son, "Son, whenever Muhammad says something, it always happens. Now we have to do something to protect you." And he assigned some guards to walk with his son all the time. Once his son was going out with a trade caravan to Syria, on their way, they stopped somewhere. And of course, because of this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's always in his mind. That's a torture by itself for that man now. Just like Salman Rushdie, who always tried to hide away from Muslims. That's a torture by itself. So, he was always trying to protect himself. So at night time, when they stopped somewhere and they went to sleep, they slept in such a way that he's the son of the leader of Quraysh. So everyone is trying to protect him. So they were sleeping in such a way that they're all sleeping in a circle, and they put him in the middle. And all of their belongings and all the merchandise they had it around him. So there is no way anyone can get to him. One of those people who was with them, and later on he became Muslim, he narrates, and he's the one who mentioned this to the rest of the people afterwards. He said, as we were sleeping, I woke up by someone stepping around me, someone walking around me. When I opened my eyes, there was a lion there. He said, I was afraid to death. I thought, now we are all going to die. And the lion started smelling our faces. He said, I pretended that I'm sleeping. I couldn't do nothing. I can't move. I can't run away now. The lion is just standing there. So I just closed my eyes, and he came and he smelled me also, and he was smelling every person. He said, finally, as he's smelling and smelling, and he got into the circle, and he's smelling now the merchandise that was over there. And he could, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him now. So he jumped in between, and he went to Utbah, he jumped on Utbah, and killed him, then he left back. Didn't, without harming any other person over there. And this was the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, basically the ayah was revealed about him, as many Mufassirin have explained, but it's general for every Muslim, for every person. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانِ مَا أَكْفَرَ. May the human being be cursed, how ungrateful he is to this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending his book, and this person is rejecting the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the next ayahs, he mentions some of the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have done to human being. Of course, book of Allah is a great favor, and he have talked about this favor, but sometimes people cannot understand what a great favor this is. But when we talk about, you know, the money that you have, the eyes you have, the hands you have, the power that you have, the strength you have, knowledge you have, the brain you have, and all of these things, when we talk about things that even a non-Muslim, when he thinks about these things, he feels that this is a blessing. Whoever gave it to me, it's a blessing. Irrespective of who gave it to him. But he considers these things a great blessing. He may not consider the books of Allah and the divine books a great blessing. He doesn't care too much about it. But at least these are the things that every person considers them a blessing. Using that method, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next ayahs talks about some of the favors that he have done to us in this field, in this regard. And then he reminds us about how we really should thank him for these blessings. If we do not accept that blessing, at least we should realize these blessings. This is the message in the next ayahs. It's a long message and long ayahs. We will stop here inshallah this time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to surat al-mustaqim. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Abu Zar radiallahu anhu narrates the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inni ara ma la taraun. I can see what you people cannot see. Wa asma'u ma la tasma'un. And I hear what you people cannot hear. Atat as-sama wa huqqa laha an ta'itta. The heaven is making some noises. And it has all the right to make all of these noises. And atit, according to the Arabic language, is the noise of an old bed that makes a lot of noise because it's old. Mattresses, our old mattresses, they make noise. He said, this type of noise, I hear it from the heaven. And subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's connection with the akhirah, with everything in the akhirah, was so close that things going over there, he could hear those things and he could see those things, also many of those things. Because his relationship was there. As normally when our relationship is with this life, so we see things in this life. A person who's sitting in front of a TV, through the TV, he's able to see a lot of things that other people who are sitting behind the TV are not able to see. A person who's listening to the radio is able to hear a lot of things that other people cannot hear without the radio. Because the channel is set over there. There is a connection in the TV with the station. There is a connection in this radio with that station. And this is why it can catch things that we cannot catch those things, because we do not have in our body that connection with the TV station and with the radio station. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's connection was with Akhirah. That connection was so strong that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam many times was able to hear things that we cannot hear, and he was able to see things that we cannot see. Some sahaba that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trusted so much, they also had a stronger connection than we do. For example, a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, when I was with my goats, I'm a shepherd, and I was taking care of my goats, a wolf came and it picked one of my goats up and started running away. I ran after the wolf and I got the goat back from the wolf. So the wolf said to me that, how can you take it away from me the day when there will be no shepherd to take care of these goats?" Which means the day of judgment, or the day before the day of judgment, when there will be no shepherd to take care of this goat. Then how would you take this goat away from me at that time? So all the sahaba said, sitting there, he said, "Subhanallah, Ya Rasulullah, can a goat talk to a human being?" Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma were not there in that gathering. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Amantu bihi ana wa Abu Bakr wa Umar." Me, Abu Bakr and Umar believe in this. And they are not even there, they have not even heard it. The reason he knew that those people believe in it, because he knew that whatever he would say is okay, then for them is finally is okay, is always okay for them. They believe it. And he can guarantee it on their behalf, that when I say about something that is okay, then it's okay. Even for them it's okay. And another hadith that even proves similar type of correction of another sahabi is when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from the Hewand, and after Salat al-Fajr he called Bilal radiallahu anhu and asked, "Bilal, tell me a special ibadah that you perform." He said, "Ya Rasulullah, nothing very special. My normal ibadah, I always do whatever everyone else does in Medina, all the other sahaba." "No, Bilal, there must be something very important." Of course, with all the other ibadahs, he's looking for something unique. Bilal radiallahu anhu said, "The only thing I do special is, every time when I make wudu, if it's time for salah, then I perform 2 rak'ah nafil for tahiyatul wudu, thanking Allah for giving me the tawfiq to make the wudu. So after every wudu, I perform 2 rak'ah nafil." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Then this might be the reason." Then he said, "Last night, I was taken to the heaven. When I was walking into the Jannah, I heard someone walking in beside me. I was able to hear the footsteps of that person. I could not see the person. So I asked Jibreel alayhi salam, 'Jibreel, who is this person? I cannot see. There might be an angel walking beside me.' Jibreel alayhi salam said, 'No, O Muhammad. This is Bilal walking on the streets of Medina. When he walks on the streets of Medina, we can hear his footsteps in Jannah.'" And amazing. This is one of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His connection with Akhirah is so great that when he steps in this world, angels hear his footsteps in Jannah, as if he's walking in Jannah. So I was mentioning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's connection with Akhirah was great. So he says, "I hear what you people cannot hear, and I see what you people cannot see." And then he says, "This heaven is making the noises because," and he says that it has all the right to make all of these noises because, "ما فيها موضع أربع أصابع إلا وملك واضع جبهته ساجدا لله." and every at a distance of four fingers, arba asabi, at every distance of four fingers, there is an angel who is in sujood, whose head, his forehead is on the ground over there, and is doing sajda for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never picks up his head up from the sajda, and he will remain in that sajda till the day of judgment. Then he says, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ, if you people would know what I know, لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا, you will laugh very little and you will cry a lot. وَلَخَرَجْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّعُدَاتِ تَجْأَرُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ, you will leave your homes and go out in jungles crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and according to some muhaddiseen, this is the wording of Abu Zar radiyallahu anhu, لَوَدِدْتُ أَنِّي كُنْتُ شَجَرَةً تُعْضَدْ, I wish if I would have been a tree that people would cut it and destroy it. I wish I would not have been a human being who would be responsible for his deeds in the Akhirah. If I was a tree, it would be better for me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us against all of his punishments and grant us his rahmah and jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to sirat al-mustaqim. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'ir al-muslimin wal-muslimat wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.